Keith,
What's up, my man?
how goes it?
Man, it's good, brother.
I got my voice back somewhat. Hey, well,
I hear it.
at least we won. State, that was a good reason to lose it.
Yeah, I know, man. I
Well,
never knew.
I didn't
I
win,
never.
but
I did never know that a lemon can help you bring your voice back with chewing on a lemon.
yeah. So, real quick, before we jump into your story, I'll tell you. I was in the Navy and I lost my voice in the Navy, but I was the one that do cadence.
Okay.
And the petty officer,
Okay.
the cadence. We was on our way to treat. So he started yelling at me. We was yelling at each other. And then once we got in the shower hall, he told me to get some lemons and it'll help my voice. And sure enough, I was able to do cadence on the
Wow.
way
Well,
back.
I learned something new today.
But this one was a
I
little
heard.
worse. I
I
ain't
heard,
had
my
no
man. It's all
voice.
good though. We here now.
I
Man,
know.
I've been
How you
living,
been?
man. Just living.
That's good. That's good. So you got a little bit more
Yes.
time, huh? Or do good.
Yes,
All right.
finally, man.
Why don't you introduce
All
yourself for
right, my
everybody?
man. My name is Keith Snyder, and I got a podcast, Anxiety About Anxiety. I'm basically sharing my story about my struggles with anxiety and depression. Yes.
Sounds good. And Keith is the one that interviewed me a couple weeks ago on
Yes.
Friday. And yeah,
Yeah, we
we
are,
are
man.
brothers now for
Hey,
sure.
I tell you what, man, that interview was very, very, it was awesome, my dude. I got a lot of
That's good,
feedback about
man.
it, man. A lot of people, they love your story. And man, and the people that
Good.
I've been hearing firsthand from, man, I was like, man, that's very inspiring. And for you to get on there, for you to
That's
get on there and
dope.
just, talk about everything you've been through. And man, I appreciate you coming on. That was awesome.
And that wasn't everything.
Yeah, we can never tell our full story. It's so much, just like me, my man.
Well,
Just if you don't mind, like just like
yeah.
me, I've been sharing my story with my listeners, but man, it's probably only 50% of all the stuff I ever been through. I'm just
Right.
sharing
Yep.
what I think, what they need to hear right now, and then as time go on, I'll share some more. And it's a lot.
Right. Yeah, you got to break
You
it up
do,
into
my man.
segments.
And
So, don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your story, or as
oh
much as you're
man,
willing to
I
share?
don't mind, my man. Well, let's start off, man. I suffer from anxiety, severe anxiety. It's not like just something that bothers me every now and then. It's something that bothers me like every minute of every day. Like, I think, as I shared on my podcast, I can kind of remember being just a young little boy and not knowing what was wrong with me, but I would tend to dwell and worry about like every single thing. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what it was. It could be so minute, but I would sit there and I would dwell on it. So I think around that time, when I say about 8, 9, 10 years old or whatever, we don't understand what's going on with our body. We don't know. We just think it's normal or whatever it may be, but that wasn't the case. As I'll skip on to my teenage years when I really found out, like when I really went through something, and I found out what it was. Like going into my teenage years, obviously I would dwell on a lot of things and worry about a lot of things and just kind of be just nervous. I was always kind of nervous in like crowds, or like if I go to a school dance or whatever, I would clam up a little bit, and I didn't know why. And it's like, okay, I was a good communicator with like my peers, like my friends, the friends I hung out with all the time. But it's like when I got into a setting like at a school dance, or I go to a football game or something like that, I start to notice myself just kind of like just I don't know, man. It's weird to explain, but my body started like kind of, I started sweating and shaking a little bit, and I didn't know how to talk or communicate with nobody. So it was, but I'll share with your listeners, like when things really got bad for me. I was 17 years old, and I had to go to the doctor to get a sports physical, play basketball. So
right.
During my doctor's visit, it's a routine doctor visit, and I've never really been. We all kind of scared to go to the doctor. You know, you get kind of nervous every now and then, but this particular visit, I can just remember, man, the doctor informed my mom that I might have a heart murmur, and I'm already a nervous person to begin with. When he said heart murmur, I instantly thought like, yo, I'm about to die. I know that sounds crazy, but you know, when a doctor mentions something about your heart or whatever, you know.
Especially when you don't know what it is.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. So moving forward, man, he informed my mom that I would have to go through some tests or whatever it may be, just to see how healthy I was. Forget mm-hmm. basketball, just to see if I was healthy enough to do anything else.
Right.
So that triggered something in me. Like I already was a nervous person, but this time it just went that particular couple weeks that I'm going through all the tests or whatever, that triggered something in me. I don't know what it was, but dude, I hit a very low point. Like I started freaking out. Like I'm going to school and all I can think about is this heart murmur.
Yeah.
So this is when I start experiencing like anxiety. For people who don't know, man, it's just not a mental thing. It can be a physical type thing too. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. It's just not in your head. But I start to experience like a lot of physical symptoms, like during that week, like at school. Like I couldn't breathe, and then my heart started beating like really, really fast. So with my heartbeat, with my heart beating really fast, now I'm thinking like, okay, something is really wrong with my heart.
Right.
So I'm running back and forth to the school nurse and, you know, asking her to, you know, check my heart out or whatever it may be. So that's when I started experiencing like panic attacks in school from that. And it just progressed, my man. And going into adulthood, that was my first low moment. If you don't mind, I'm
like, no, go I'm ahead. Go ahead. Nope. But, it's your interview. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay, man. But it's a lot, you guys. It's a lot. I'm sorry. But yeah, so I went through that, and I got diagnosed a couple, like after I went through all my tests and I checked out and everything was fine with me. Doctor said I had a clean bill of health, but in my mind, I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
So it affected me in school. I couldn't stay in school. Like I started to skip school because I couldn't.
About it.
Yes, I was very self, and that's all I can think about. Like I couldn't focus on class. I got shortness of breath, and my chest hurting, and I'm running back and forth to the school nurse, and she thinking something wrong with me. And so, I literally started skipping school because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to be up in there because I couldn't take it. And so, finally, my mother broke down and took me back to the doctor, and that's when they told me that I had anxiety.
Indeed.
But they loosely explained it to me back. This is what we're talking about 17 years, 18 years ago.
Right.
So he just told me that I worry a lot. That was his words.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was all. And I was like, okay, you know, they tried giving me some pills or whatever, but I didn't like them. If that make a lot of sense.
It
made me feel a little weird, but moving on, man, it was hard to get out of that. It was hard to get out of that one, but over time, over the next couple months or whatever, man, I was able to kind of like get myself better, if that make a lot of sense, you know, better, best as I could.
That's
moving
good.
Forward.
How'd you start to work on it?
Honestly, man, I'm a basketball player.
Hmm.
That's what I love to do. And so It's crazy because when I first got diagnosed with it around that time, anxiety itself took basketball away from me because I was so scared that I had a heart problem that I didn't want to get on the basketball court. So for a very long time, like doing that basketball, I eventually went back and played basketball as best as I could, but for a very long time, and I was always scared. But during the summertime, like after I actually, my mom took me out of school because I couldn't do it no more. And so I had a lot of time on my hands, and I just picked up a basketball, man. And I said, okay, I ain't fell out yet. So, I'm gonna play till I fall out, if that make a lot of sense, But basketball was my sanctuary, man. And that summer, man, I just played a lot of basketball, and I started to feel more comfortable. Like, okay, maybe I'm good. Maybe what the doctor said is cool. It's nothing wrong with me. So I got myself out of it and started, living life again.
So I got
But
another question for you.
what's up, my man?
You think that basketball was just a way to not deal with it, or do you think that that was the like calm and peace that kept your body where it needed to be to actually deal with it?
Both, my man. I would say both. I just, when I was on that court, man, between them lines, man, I didn't worry about nothing. And that's where I wanted to be.
That's cool.
I felt like all day, every day, if I was playing basketball, I was occupying my time. I didn't have no time to think about it. I was just thinking about this game. So it did a lot for me, my man. It really did. It helped me out a lot.
That's crazy how our passions can lead us to a place of healing. You know what I mean?
Yes. It was great.
I found a passion that I had. Well, I always knew I liked to help people. I always knew that. But my time off work these last few months has shown me a passion of speaking about mental health and
I can tell.
like speaking like unity into community and everything. So it's like right now at this point in my life, it means so much to me, and I'm pretty sure that's helped me get through a lot of PTSD days.
Yeah, we gotta talk about it, man. That's my motto, my man. Like when I'm talking to people or I'm talking on my podcast and I'm saying, look, we're all going through something. We just gotta speak about it. We gotta talk about it. Keeping it in is not gonna help us. It's only gonna hinder us.
And I could tell you from firsthand experience, holding shit like stuff like that
No,
in
shit
is not
ain't good,
good.
bro. Hold it.
It's
I'm
not
sorry to
good.
excuse my French, but that's because
No,
that's
it's all
what
good.
moving forward, that's what I did, my dude. Like I held it in because I seen that first like that heavy bout of anxiety that I went through when I was 17. I held it in because I seen how me going through that how it affected my relationship with like my mother, like my father, just my family in general, because they didn't understand it either. They didn't know what the hell I was going through. I mean, they were trying to figure it out. They was with me, but still, it was hard on them.
I bet.
So I kept a lot of things in. Going forward, I kept a lot of things in. And I going into my 20s and going through college and everything, I had these feelings of like just dread when I wake up, I feel it in my body. Like I felt like something was going to happen to me all day, every day. And I didn't want to talk to nobody. I didn't want to tell nobody about it. And that's the wrong thing to do.
So yes.
And I did it for a very long time, my man. And it, I'm gonna keep. Okay, I think it's a lot, my man. Moving forward, like, and I share with your listeners, and I'll just tell them a little of every little bout that I had, so they can get an understanding of like what I've been dealing with, like. Moving forward through my 20s, I dealt with it, kept it, and then my grandfather passed away when I was 25, and that was my best friend. Like that was the person I went to with all my problems. That's the person I could talk to, if that make a lot of sense. That's the only person that would listen to me. So when he passed away, I lost my best friend. So my anxiety like turned into like depression, which I had no clue what depression. I heard of it, you know, I heard about it a lot, but I had never experienced like that sadness or that just I didn't want to do nothing. And you can talk to you know about that because me you shared this story with me, and dude, I was low, dude, and that was yeah. And then all that stuff that I went through when I was 17 came right back, and it was
And
hard.
that's PTSD.
Yeah, it sounds like that, don't it?
That's what, from what my doctor told me, that's what that is.
I always thought it, man. You know what? Talking to you, I'm not gonna lie to you. Over the last month or so, last couple of weeks or whatever, I start thinking to myself like, okay, I know I got generalized anxiety. I know I got that. Okay, but the PTSD by talking to you, it's like a traumatic something happened to you, traumatic that you know that.
It don't always have to be physical either. It could come from
No.
a conversation. It could come from something you see on TV. That's how our
Yeah.
brains work, and we don't even know that part about it.
Yeah. So it got me to thinking though, through you did this. It got me to thinking like maybe when I was 17, I go all the way back to when I was 17 and I went through that traumatic experience for me with the heart murmur and everything. Maybe that did something to me because to this day at 35, I still think about that. I got like,
It
yeah, they say I got health anxiety too because I never had it before that. Now I feel like everything gonna happen to me
Oh, yeah, I get it.
from that. You know what I'm saying? Because I went through that, so it got me to thinking like, man, maybe I'm dealing with something more than anxiety.
That's crazy.
It is, but it's through you, my man. Honestly, talking to you, it made me think.
Yeah, well, some of the things that I started to go through, I can pick those out because I've been through it before, like the depression, when I first fell off the pole and not understanding what was going on and having those negative nights. I knew that was depression, but I didn't know what else it was until I saw my psychologist about my PTSD. And when she told me, that was like the worst thing that the worst thing that I could hear. But knowing what it is and somebody putting a name on it, it's a relief because now you can research it. You can put some type of heal into it or some steps to it. But before that, you don't know what it is. So it's confusing, it's sad, it's depressing, it's frustrating.
That's the biggest thing for me, man. I've been frustrated, man, for 20 years almost, bro. Tw
Yeah,
20,
that's a long time.
tw 20 years, man, because it kept just this anxiety and everything just kept following me, man. You wake up and you pray every day, you don't feel like this. You know, you wondering like, why me, right? And so you just people tell you to forget about it, just let it go. And it's just like, bro, I can't let this go, man. Like, you're not understanding how I'm feeling. Like, I wake up, as soon as I open my eyes, I'm instantly thinking about this. You know what I'm saying? So I can't let it go if it
Not
was
like
that easy.
it's
No, it's not, man. I mean, it affected my home life. You know, I'm married now. So I thought that, you know, what's 7, 8 years ago, you know, me and my wife, we got married and everything. I thought like, okay, I'm good now. I got myself together, you know? And then well, like 6 months after we got married, everything was going smooth, my man. Like I felt like my anxiety was at like an all-time low. Nothing was bothering me. I was with my family, I was with my kids. Everything was great. You know what I'm saying? And then just out the blue, boom. I woke up one morning. And my dear friend anxiety was with me again, like bad, out the blue.
That's
And
crazy.
it was tough. My wife's still behind, you know, she's still beside me, man. But I went for like 2 months, man. I lost weight. I wasn't eating. I was constantly shaking. I was just, it was a whole lot, man. It got bad, man. It got
The
really bad.
wives get the worst of it,
Yeah, man. Yeah, they do, man. She, well, my wife, man, I will say she was, and to this day, man, like she's learning more. But that first bout, I had told her what I went through when I was 17. But she had never really, first of all, I held it in a lot through all the years we was together, but she had never really seen exactly how it affected me until then. And then I think it shocked her, you know, like, whoa, hold up. This ain't the guy that I know, you know? And it's just, it was tough, man. And I mean, I lost my job because of it. To be honest with you, this was 6, 7 years ago. I couldn't go to work. I was calling off work all the time because I couldn't be around people, you know, all of that, man. And they helped me through it, man. But I still didn't go get help, if that makes sense. Like I dealt with it myself. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of people
And
won't get their help.
they won't, man. They won't go get help. But that was my whole thing, man. I don't need to go talk to nobody. I don't need to go see no doctor. I don't need to go do this. That's the first thing on my mind. Is like, I don't need to go talk to nobody. I got this, right? And how can you say it? I got myself out of the dark air, the dark space. I did, but
That deep
dude,
depression.
deep depression and anxiety. But I had those feelings every day I was waking up, but I didn't want to share it with them. You know what I'm saying? Moving forward throughout the year, same thing, same thing, same thing. And then boom, the worst time of my life happened 6, 7 months ago, man, ever. And I shared it with you. Like I hit the lowest of the low, man. Like I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't eat. My wife went out of town and I had the kids. And like I don't know how to explain it, man. It's like I was having an out of body experience for the first time ever in my life. Like, I don't know. I
The
would wake
kids
up
took
and
care of you.
they did, bro. Like to this day, my wife, she know, man. Like I sat on the couch for like 4 days straight. I couldn't eat. I have no. It sound bad, man, but I really don't know how I was taking care of the kids. You know what I'm saying? They was taking care of me. Like it
Was an
was.
autopilot.
I was, man. It just I didn't feel like. I don't know how you say it, man. It's like it wasn't real. Like when I wake up and I say I get to walking or whatever, man, I just didn't feel like I was in my own body. It was just it was scary, man. And that was the moment that I said, okay, I need to go talk to somebody, right? So I went and seen the doctor, and they re-diagnosed me with generalized anxiety, which I didn't know it was three or four different types of anxiety, but
I just thought it was anxiety.
that's what the doctor told me when I was 17. So,
Oh, man.
but then, you know, I got to talk to a therapist or whatever it may be, which was the first time I ever talked to anybody, which is, you know, pretty cool. But to be honest with you, man, I didn't stick with her because she didn't know me. And the first thing she, and I hate this, and I will vent on your show right now. Like,
Go ahead.
I will
Go
vent
for
right now, my man, because I think it's very important. Like, if you can go see a therapist, please go do it. Please go do it. But this particular person didn't know me for more than 30 seconds. When they seen me, they didn't ask my name. They didn't ask how I was doing. They didn't really ask what was wrong with me. The first thing they did was take this pill. Come back and see me in 2 months. Yeah,
What are
it
pills
shocked me.
supposed to do for you for 2 months?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't know nothing about this. And so just to try to get out of it, I started taking the medicine. And I'm not telling nobody not to take their medicine. If it helps you, please continue to take your medicine. But this didn't, what they gave me did not help me. Like it actually made me a little bit worse, if that, you know, that sounds crazy, but it did. It made me worse. So I stopped taking it, man. And it's been rough for the last 7 months, man, but I'm making progress. You know, I'm educating myself more than I ever did before.
That's good.
Do research and telling my story, my man.
That is good. To yeah. take those steps is is huge. You know what I mean? And like mine was going to talk to my therapist.
Okay.
Because I didn't know how I was going to get through life if I didn't. You know what I mean?
And yeah.
I wish I had told her or taken people's advice to get some medication to help me sleep. Because sometimes I would be up for 2-3 days at a time. And now it's like, even though I'm so much better, you know, it's like I can be up for 2 days and be fully functional, and that's scary. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then
I might be going back to work next week. So I'm trying to will myself back on some type of sleeping schedule. And it's hard.
It's hard. Yeah.
So I don't like taking drugs either. When I fell off the pole, I didn't like the way the oxys made me feel. So after the second day, I stopped taking them and I was in pain, but I did not like the way those things made me feel.
That's my whole thing. I don't like, and maybe that's my own negative thoughts, man, my anxiety or whatever it may be about pills or medicine in general. I kind of shy away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And this particular time, I just said, okay, I'm going to try it because I need this help. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And quite honestly, it just didn't work for me. And I know they say, you know, it might take 3 or 4 different type of medications to get you right, but I'm just I'm not there yet. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be moving from
somebody guinea pig.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. And like I say before, man, if it's helping somebody out there and it's helping them, then please continue to take it. But for me, I think this, me starting my podcast was huge for me, you know, telling my story, educate myself more, you know, finding coping mechanisms, you know, like meditating or deep breathing exercises, or just I found the app that's, it's not therapy, it's not with a therapist, but it's kind of based off of, they call it CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. It's an app, and it does everything. It tells you everything. You know, you have sessions with, you know, within the app or whatever. So I'm doing that, and
that's good.
It's helping.
Like that
it's helping, man.
But one thing I want to tell you, like with me seeing a therapist and doing like podcasts, it's like I get double the help, because the same thing I do on my podcast is the same thing I do while I'm talking to her.
Yeah.
She told me like a month ago that I made her job like really easy, because I come in and I sit down and I just start talking, and I'm saying to her what I should be telling myself.
Yeah.
So the podcast, it can be your therapist. It just won't diagnose you or give you no steps to take. Well, it will if you have people on your show that go through it.
Bro, you.
Oh.
you and I have met through just this last month through podcasting, you, I met countless and talked to countless other people that just like me. And I'm like, yo, it's people just like me. Like, okay. So it gives me a encouragement. Like, man, okay, I can do this.
Right.
You know, I can. And just, man, I'm going to take steps every single day, man. I want to start like in my own city where I live in Indiana, in my city. Surprisingly, there's no, and it surprised the hell out of me, man. Like I researched, like we have no like help groups, like on like anxiety or depression. There's no like weekly meeting groups or whatever. We don't have none of that.
And there you go.
It's something that I want to do. I want to start. I'm gonna figure it out. I want to start it myself. You know, people who can't afford to go to therapy or just don't want to go,
but they
wouldn't mind coming. Sitting 30, 40 minutes one time a week with people that's relatable to them, and, you know, talking it out.
So, and that's the main thing too, because, you know, people that's in our situations, we don't talk to people out of fear of being judged or people looking at us different. And when you talk sitting across from somebody who's going through the same thing you're going through, it's like you could tell them everything you're going through. because that relationship piece.
That relationship. Me and you. I talked to you on the phone that first day, man. And you know, we talked for like 30, 40 minutes. And it's like we known each other for a year. It was crazy. But it was it was relatable. I was like, yo, okay. Somebody going through stuff that I've been through or going through. And it's like, yo, I've been looking for that. I've been searching for that my whole entire life, dude.
Yeah. Like, nobody willing to talk about it.
Man, it's that. And, dude, I ain't met countless, like, I ain't really met nobody who was willing to just say, oh, yeah, I'm going through that too.
Right.
They might say I got a little bit of anxiety, but they won't break it down like I broke it down. And it's just like, this is my therapy, man. I call it talk therapy or release therapy.
That's so exactly what it is.
I'm gonna continue to do it and build.
One of the main things that make like podcasts important is because you're talking to an audience that's not there right now. So you're having a conversation with yourself, but you're getting those thoughts, those feelings, and you're getting that and putting it all into the atmosphere. You know what I mean? And I think that that's a really big part of healing is when you can actually speak it. It's like speak the words into existence or speak it out into the atmosphere, what you're going through. Because now, you know, you're putting words to what you're going through. And that's a big part of the healing process.
Yeah, man, it is. And I'm on the road to recovery. I'm just now getting in the car. I always say, man, I'm on the road to recovery, man. I just got in the car. I opened the door. I just got in the car. And I just put my seatbelt on. I ain't even started the car.
I hear that.
You know what I'm saying, my man? I ain't even started the car. I just put my seatbelt on. And now I'm about to start the car. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Then I'm going to drive, man. So I'm very early in it. I still struggle every day. I struggle today at work. I felt a certain type of way. I felt my medicine was really, really bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like I was going to pass out. So when people hear this, I'm not cured at all. I'm not even halfway to where I want to be. I'm like 5% to where I want to be. So,
well, I don't know if it ever goes anywhere. I know depression doesn't go anywhere.
Nope. Anxiety and depression, you got to manage it. It's not curable.
Right.
You just got to learn how to manage it. To a point where it's managed. Like I'm learning every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm learning every day, bro.
One thing I noticed about you was your sense of humor, like listening to your podcast and our conversations. So I want you to like try to use that. You know what I mean? Because your humor will ease your nerves. You know what I mean? It'll be like those breathing things when you can't do them.
For sure. Yeah. You're right, man. And I've always been that type of person, man. I always try to find the fun in something. You know what I'm saying? Or make people laugh. I don't know.
I want to see everybody have fun too.
Yeah, I do, man. But you know, I tend to be very negative. And that's my first, it's one of the first things I want to do is, and I'll talk about this on my next podcast, negativity. I'm trying to throw that shit out, man, and just start to formulate some positive, you know, images in my head, man, and just become a better. I think if I could start with that, man, my life would change a little bit day by day.
Well, so, this is what started me on my, because I used to be a super negative person as well, like super angry, super negative.
Yeah.
Get everything that you don't like about yourself. And put it out there, whether you write it down or whether you put it in a podcast, just put it somewhere where you can revisit it. You know what I mean? Because when you telling yourself like the things that you really don't like for me, I don't like the fact that I'm so nice, but I love the fact that I'm so nice. You know what I mean? It makes me who I am. But that was something that I had to write down and deal with. It's like either I don't like it that much to where I'm going to get rid of it, or I like it enough to make it a part of my life and keep it.
I feel you. Yeah, that's key, man. But I know my ass, man. I start to do it, and then I start getting negative about doing it. Like, why the hell am I
that's
doing
the
this?
Point.
It ain't going to never change.
That is the point, though.
Yeah, you're right. You're
Because
right, my man.
that's the only way you're gonna learn how to turn those thoughts around is to force yourself to have those. Like when I went through my depression, when I relive some of those things, it sometimes it'll bring me back to the same feelings I had at that time. And I want that to happen. I want those feelings to come back so that I can keep working on it.
Keep moving forward.
Yep.
Keep moving forward. You got it, bro. And I know through our friendship, man, and talking beyond just the podcast, man, I know that's gonna help me out. I know it's gonna help you out.
Yep.
And we're gonna help people out, bro.
Yeah.
That's what we hear from.
That's the
That's
goal.
what we hear from. That's, bro, that's my goal, man. It ain't about no money or nothing like that.
Right.
That's good too. Don't get me wrong. But don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. We both want to do our thing, but you know, I just want to see people, you know, share their story, talk about what they're going through,
Right.
and just heal, man. Just heal, bro.
Like
'Cause this shit is hard.
last year was really tough because we had a lot of racial incidents out here.
Yeah.
And the look on my kids' faces, like that almost it made me want to go back to the person that I was when I was living in Chicago. You know, but I got these
Yeah.
kids that's looking at me and they looking for answers. Shit, answers that
Yeah.
I didn't even have. You know what I mean? But
Yeah.
I had to make sure that they didn't get to a place that I was when I was their ages. So I talked to them about everything. And now, like, our conversations are so raw sometimes because I don't want nothing to slap them in their face again, like what happened
You
last
like
year.
me, bro. You like me. Sometimes you got to be rough. You know, I don't sugarcoat it. I'm gonna tell you what it is because
You
you
have
gotta
to.
know. You gotta know, man. This world is very cruel out here, man, especially today.
Yeah.
What you see today is cruel out there, and then you know you sugarcoat it, and then our kids go out there, and then boom,
Right.
like damn,
Yep.
like so you know that's what I'm here for, man, to motivate and just be an example for anybody dealing with anxiety, depression, PTSD, bipolar, whatever your mental illness is, man. I'm here, you here, and we're gonna do our thing, bro.
For sure.
We gonna
And
do, but I'm gonna shout out.
go
Oh,
ahead,
you
go
got it.
for
My
it.
bad, bro.
Now go for it.
Now, I'm about to say, man, whoever listening, man, tune in. Anxiety about anxiety. You can find me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Anchor app, and a whole lot of other platforms that I still don't even know yet, bro. I've been getting like inboxes from like all type of platforms I never heard of,
That's
but
good.
those big four, you can definitely find me on there, or you can email me at anxietyaboutanxiety@gmail.com if you got any questions or comments or shit. You just want to know what's up. Just hit me up.
If
I'm
anybody's
there.
leave me any comments about with anything that should come from you, then I'll just relate it back to you or put y'all together so y'all can talk about
Bruh, let's
it.
do it, man. I trust in you, man. Hey, by the way, while we on here, man, I love the website.
Thank
That's
you.
my motivation now.
Thank you.
I'm gonna get my lazy butt up, and you're gonna do me one now.
That was
So,
hard, man. That was hard.
I saw good. I seen you do it, so I was like, shit, I'm gonna go do it too. So,
Dude,
man, I
man,
appreciate it.
I had a my cousin, she called me, was it Thanksgiving morning? I think it was Thanksgiving morning. And she challenged me with like making a website, with taking this a little farther than what I was doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
She challenged me
got
to make
to.
a Facebook page for it, the website for it. And you challenged me then, you know, we got action. But yeah,
Yeah, let's go,
so
bro.
I was getting ready to break this laptop sometimes.
Do your thing. You got to. I'm gonna do it. And oh, since you said social media, I forgot, man. I said shout out. I got an anxiety about anxiety page on Facebook. Go and check that out. Go and like that. Instagram, anxiety about anxiety. I'm not on Twitter yet. I don't tweet everything. Maybe I should, but I don't. So maybe I get in tune with that. But I'm definitely gonna get a website. Don't know what I'm gonna name it, but my dude Dante, very encouraging, very motivating. This a good dude, y'all.
I try to be.
Man, you are, bro.
You
Ain't no try,
know
bro.
what?
Hey, we friends, bro.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that I still suffer from is accepting compliments. And
Yep.
I never really told anybody about this, but like I don't accept like compliments because of shame. You know, I feel like I
Okay.
don't deserve them. So like people here in the community call me like good names and I reflect it back to them, you know. Or if somebody
Yeah.
say I'm a good part of the community, I reflect it back to the community. And you know, I had a conversation with somebody and it was like, well, my mom first. She was like, cut that shit out. She
Man, man, what
was like, cut it out.
the hell wrong with you, boy?
Right.
Yeah.
Because she explained it to me how that could make somebody feel taking a compliment that they sincerely gave to me and then I'm giving it away to somebody else. It's like unappreciative. You know what I mean? And that's not
Yeah,
the
I
case.
see that.
It's just so much shame that I'm just now starting to deal with that. I wouldn't accept compliments. You know what I mean?
But bro, you better start, man, because
I
what
am.
you're doing right now, you're gonna get a
Well,
whole lot of
I got two things. I'm waiting on the city that I live in, Chaska, for the Mental Health Advisory Council to get back to me. And then Tuesday, I got a meeting with it's this group I had called NAMI. And
Yeah.
they go around and talk about mental health issues and have people speak publicly and everything. So
Dude, you moving.
I'm just
That's
trying to
what's up.
start wherever I can, man, because for one, I'm 37, you 35, but it's too many kids out here committing suicide. You
Exactly.
know what I mean? And
Exactly.
we need to give them that platform or that comfort space where they can talk to somebody about what they're going through.
Confidence, man. Let people know that, hey, it's okay to talk about
Yeah. And
it. Let it out. Don't hold it in.
it drives me up a wall. Like it hurts my heart to see like either a kid attempt suicide or a kid actually do it because that could have been
Yeah.
me 5 times.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, you lived through it, man. But you got it going, man. I like what you're doing. And like I said before, man, good things happen to good people.
I
And
appreciate it.
keep doing what you're doing. And like over here, man, I ain't got that too many resources over here, but I'm gonna create my own for
Right.
other people.
Yep.
That's my goal. And keep
And
moving it forward, bro.
you can shoot me a message anytime. If I don't have an answer, I'm not going to try and tell you I do or try and figure out an answer. I will flat
Good.
out tell you, like, shit, I don't know. Because
That's
I would
good for
like to
me.
speak from experience. You know what I mean? If I
That's
can't
good
speak
for
from
me, bro.
experience, I'd rather not.
Yeah, you good with me, man. So it don't matter, man. Like I said, we got a friendship now through this podcasting, but it's gonna be beyond that, bro. And yeah, man, just I got your back, bro.
For
Whatever
sure.
you need,
Now
we got it, my man.
we gotta start to create a wider circle and keep growing that circle so that everybody can start to do what we're doing. Because if you get a community of people that's talking about their problems, ooh,
Yep.
conversations would be so much better. And I mean
Translate. Yep.
the
Keep
world would
thinking.
be a much better place.
Yep. For it go from one person to the next, and then there you go. Then you got a lot of people talking about it. So that's what I want to do. I see that's what you want to do.
Yep.
So yeah, man, this is gonna be awesome, my man. And I appreciate you having me on your show. I
No
love it.
problem.
I never did an interview before. This wasn't even an interview. It was a conversation.
All right.
But I never did it before. And yo, we're gonna do it again. You're gonna be on my show again.
Yep.
And yeah, bro. Keep moving forward, bro.
You too, man. You too. Everybody, this is Keith Snyder and Dante Hughes and his podcast, Anxiety About Anxiety. He also has a Facebook page and coming soon to a website,
Yeah.
meaning you would be his website. It'll probably be Anxiety About Anxiety. And that's a
No,
dope
will
name,
not.
man.
Actually,
I love that name.
I might call it the unminded. For people who don't know what unminded means, it means the ignored. So
Oh.
I might call it the, I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I'm still tossing it in the air.
So
But yeah, we're gonna have something really soon. So I appreciate it, my guy.
that just made me think about like somebody sent me a message said that they don't know if I should use that name, Vulnerable Truth. You know,
Why?
and I told him like that's that, for me that's an important name because where I grew up, you weren't allowed to be vulnerable. You know, and if you're not
Yeah.
allowed to be vulnerable, when you telling somebody about you, most of the time you lying because you can't be vulnerable. So you're not giving them a story about you. You're giving them
Man,
something that you made up. So
I love it, bro.
this is something that I do now. I'm honest. I'm telling my story and I'm
Do it.
being vulnerable in front of any and everybody. So vulnerable
Do it.
too.
Do your thing, man. And I'll have one day. So, man, I
I'm gonna be looking
appreciate it,
for
my
it
man.
soon.
I appreciate it, man. I will be talking to you soon, so tomorrow, really, probably. So,
That's
yeah,
cool.
man.
That's cool.
I appreciate it, bro. Now I got to go pick up the wife.
Uh-oh.
Hey,
Yeah, I'm gonna get you tagged in a minute.
do your thing, bro. Hey, take your time, man. I know we all good, bro. I appreciate it.
For
And
sure.
I'll be talking to you tomorrow, man.
All right. Thanks for
All right,
being
bro.
on here,
Take have a
King.
man, no doubt, man. Have a good night, bro.
You too, take it easy.
All right, peace.
Later. Keith,
What's up, my man?
how goes it?
Man, it's good, brother.
I got my voice back somewhat.
I hear it.
Hey, well, at least we won. State, that was a good reason to lose it.
Yeah, I know, man. I
Well,
never knew.
I didn't win, but
I did never know that a lemon can help you bring your voice back or chewing on a lemon.
yeah, so real quick, before we jump into your story, I'll tell you. I was in the Navy and I lost my voice in the Navy, but I was the one that do cadence.
Okay.
And the petty officer.
Okay.
The cadence. We was on our way to speak. So he started yelling at me. We was yelling at each other. And then once we got in the chow hall, he told me to get some lemons and it'll help my voice. And sure enough, I was able to do cadence on the
Wow.
way
Well,
back.
I learned something new today.
But this one was a
I
little
heard.
worse. I ain't
I heard,
had
my
no
man. It's all
voice.
good, though. We here now.
I
Man,
know.
I've
How
been
you
living,
been?
man. Just living.
That's good. That's good. So you got a little bit more
Yes.
time, huh? Or do good.
Yes,
All right.
finally, man.
Why don't you introduce
All
yourself to
right, my
everybody?
man. My name is Keith Snyder, and I got a podcast, Anxiety About Anxiety. I'm basically sharing my story about my struggles with anxiety and depression. Yes.
Sounds good. And Keith is the one that interviewed me a couple weeks ago on
Yes.
Friday. And yeah,
Yeah, we
we
are,
are
man.
brothers now for
Hey,
sure.
I tell you what, man, that interview was very, very, it was awesome, my dude. I got a lot of
That's good,
feedback about
man.
it, man. A lot of people, they love your story. And man, and the people that
Good.
I've been hearing firsthand from, man, I was like, man, that's very inspiring. And for you to get on there, for you to
That's
get on there and
dope.
just, talk about everything you've been through. And man, I appreciate you coming on. That was awesome.
And that wasn't everything.
Yeah, we could never tell our full story. It's so much, just like me, my man.
Well,
Just if you don't mind, like just like
yeah.
me, I've been sharing my story with my listeners, but man, it's probably only 50% of all the stuff I ever been through. I'm just
Right.
sharing
Yep.
what I think, what they need to hear right now, and then as time go on, I'll share some more. And it's a lot.
Right. Yeah, you got to break
You
it up
do,
into
my man.
segments.
And
So, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your story, or as
oh
much as you're
man,
willing to
I
share?
don't mind, my man. Well, let's start off, man. I suffer from anxiety, severe anxiety. It's not like just something that bothers me every now and then. It's something that bothers me like every minute of every day. Like, I think, as I shared on my podcast, I can kind of remember being just a young little boy and not knowing what was wrong with me, but I would tend to dwell and worry about like every single thing. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what it was. It could be so minute, but I would sit there and I would dwell on it. So I think around that time, when I say about 8, 9, 10 years old or whatever, we don't understand what's going on with our body. You know, we don't know. We just think it's normal, whatever it may be. But that wasn't the case. As I'll skip on to my teenage years when I really found out, like when I really went through something and I found out what it was. Mm-hmm. Like going into my teenage years, obviously I would dwell on a lot of things and worry about a lot of things and just kind of be just nervous. I was always kind of nervous in like crowds or like if I go to a school dance or whatever, I would clam up a little bit and I didn't know why. And it's like, okay, you know, mm-hmm. I was a good communicator with like my peers, like my friends, the friends I hung out with all the time. But it's like when I got into a setting like at a school dance or I go to a football game or something like that, I start to notice myself just kind of like just, I don't know, man. It's weird to explain, but my body started like kind of, I started sweating and shaking a little bit and I didn't know how to talk or communicate with nobody. So it was, but I'll share with your listeners, like when things really got bad for me, I was 17 years old. And I had to go to the doctor to get a sports physical, to play basketball. So during my doctor's visit, it's a routine doctor visit. And I never really been, we all kind of scared to go to the doctor. You know, you get kind of nervous every now and then. But this particular visit, I can just remember, man, the doctor informed my mom that I might have a heart murmur. And I'm already a nervous person to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
When he said heart murmur, I instantly thought like, yo, I'm about to die. I know that sounds crazy, but you know, when a doctor mentions something about your heart or whatever, you know.
Especially when you don't know what it is.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. So moving forward, man, he informed my mom that I would have to go through some tests or whatever it may be, just to see how healthy I was. Forget basketball, just to see if I was healthy enough to do anything else.
Right.
So that triggered something in me. Like I already was a nervous person, but this time it just went that particular couple weeks that I'm going through all the tests or whatever, that triggered something in me. I don't know what it was, but dude, I hit a very low point. Like I started freaking out. Like I'm going to school and all I can think about is this heart murmur.
Yeah.
So this is when I start experiencing, like, anxiety, for people who don't know, man, it's just not a mental thing. It can be a physical type thing, too. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. It's just not in your head. But I start to experience, like, a lot of physical symptoms, like, during that week, like, at school. Like, I couldn't breathe, and then my heart started beating, like, really, really fast. So with my heart beating really fast, now I'm thinking like, okay, something is really wrong with my heart. Right. So I'm running back and forth to the school nurse and, you know, asking her to, you know, check my heart out or whatever it may be. So that's when I start experiencing like panic attacks in school from that. And it just progressed, my man. And going into adulthood, that was my first low moment. If you don't mind,
Go ahead.
Okay, man, but it's a lot, you guys. It's a lot. I'm sorry. But yeah, so I went through that, and I got diagnosed a couple, like, after I went through all my tests, and I checked out, and everything was fine with me. Doctor said I had a clean bill of health, but in my mind, I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
So it affected me in school. I couldn't stay in school. Like I started to skip school because I couldn't.
Self-conscious about it.
Yes, I was very self, and that's all I could think about. Like I couldn't focus on class. I got shortness of breath, and my chest hurting, and I'm running back and forth to the school nurse, and she thinking something wrong with me. And so, I literally started skipping school because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to be up in there because I couldn't take it, and so. Finally, my mother broke down and took me back to the doctor. And that's when they told me that I had anxiety.
Indeed.
But they really, they loosely explained it to me back. This is what we're talking about 17 years, 18 years ago.
Right.
So he just told me that I worry a lot. That was his words.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was all. And I was like, okay, you know, they tried giving me some pills or whatever, but I didn't like them. If that make a lot of sense.
It
made me feel a little weird, but moving on, man, it was hard to get out of that. It was hard to get out of that one, but over time, over the next couple months or whatever, man, I was able to kind of like get myself better, if that make a lot of sense, you know, best as I could.
That's moving good.
Forward.
How'd you start to work on it?
Honestly, man, I'm a basketball player. That's what I love to do. And so it's crazy because when I first got diagnosed with it around that time, anxiety itself took basketball away from me because I was so scared that I had a heart problem that I didn't want to get on the basketball court.
Right.
You know, so for a very long time, like doing that basketball, I eventually went back and played basketball as best as I could. But for a very long time, and I was always scared. But during the summertime, like after I my mom took me out of school because I couldn't do it no more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a lot of time on my hands. And I just picked up a basketball, man, and I said, okay, I ain't fell out yet. So, you know, I'm going to play till I fall out, if that make a lot of sense, you know. Basketball was my sanctuary, man. And that summer, man, I just played a lot of basketball. And I started to feel more comfortable, like, okay, maybe I'm good. Maybe what the doctor said is cool. It's nothing wrong with me.
Right.
So I got myself out of it and start, you know, living life again.
So but I have another question for you.
What's up, man?
You think that basketball was just a way to not deal with it, or do you think that that was the like calm and peace that kept your body where it needed to be to actually deal with it?
Both, my man. I would say both. I just, when I was on that court, man, between them lines, man, I didn't worry about nothing. And that's where I wanted to be. You know, I feel like all day, every day, if I was playing basketball, I was occupying my time. I didn't have no time to think about it. I was just thinking about this game. So it did a lot for me, my man. It really did. It helped me out a lot.
That's crazy how our passions can lead us to a place of healing. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. It was great.
I found a passion that I had. Well, I always knew I liked to help people. I always knew that.
Yeah.
But my time off work these last few months has shown me a passion of speaking about mental health. And
I can tell.
Like speaking like unity into community and everything. So it's like right now at this point in my life, it means so much to me. And I'm pretty sure that's helped me get through a lot of PTSD days.
Yeah, we got to talk about it, man. That's my motto, my man. Like when I'm talking to people or I'm talking on my podcast and I'm saying, look, we're all going through something. We just got to speak about it. We got to talk about it. Yep. Keeping it in is not going to help us. It's only going to hinder us.
And I could tell you from firsthand experience, holding shit like stuff like that in.
Excuse my friends, but moving forward, that's what I did, my dude. Like I held it in because I seen that first like that heavy bout of anxiety that I went through when I was 17. I held it in because I seen how it affected my relationship with like my mother, like my father, just my family in general, because they didn't understand it either. They didn't know what the hell I was going through. You know, I mean, they were trying to figure it out. They was with me, but still, it was hard on them.
I bet.
So I kept a lot of things in. Going forward, I kept a lot of things in. And I, going into my 20s and going through college and everything, I had these feelings of like just dread when I like when I wake up, I feel it in my body. Like I felt like something was going to happen to me all day, every day. And I didn't want to talk to nobody. I didn't want to tell nobody about it. And that's the wrong thing to do.
So yes.
And I did it for a very long time, my man. And it I'm gonna keep okay. I think it's a lot, my man. Moving forward, like, and I share with your listeners, and I'll just tell them a little of every little bout that I had so they can get an understanding of like what I've been dealing with. Like moving forward through my 20s, I dealt with it, company, and then my grandfather passed away when I was 25. And that was my best friend. Like, that was the person I went to with all my problems. That's the person I could talk to, if that make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's the only person that would listen to me. So when he passed away, I lost my best friend. So my anxiety, like, turned into, like, depression.
Mm-hmm.
Which I had no clue what depression. I heard of it. You know, I heard about it a lot, but I had never experienced like that sadness or that just, yeah. I didn't want to do nothing. And you can talk to, you know about that, because me, you shared this story with me. And
yeah.
Dude, I was low, dude. And that was, yeah. And then all that stuff that I went through when I was 17 came right back.
Yeah.
And it was hard.
That's PTSD.
Yeah, it sounds like that, don't it?
That's what, from what my doctor told me, that's what that is.
I always thought it, man. You know what? Talking to you, I'm not going to lie to you, over the last month or so, last couple weeks or whatever, I start thinking to myself, like, okay, I know I got generalized anxiety. I know I got that, okay?
Right.
But the PTSD, by talking to you, it's like a traumatic, something happened to you traumatic that, you know, that.
Yeah, it don't always have to be physical either. It could come from a conversation. It could come from something you see on TV. That's how our brains work, and we don't even know that part about it.
Yeah. So it got me to thinking, though, through you. You did this. It got me to thinking, like, maybe when I was 17, I go all the way back to when I was 17 and I went through that traumatic experience for me with the heart murmur and everything. Maybe that did something to me, because to this day at 35, I still think about that. They say I got health anxiety too, because I never had it before that. Now I feel like everything gonna happen to me.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
From that. You know what I'm saying? Because I went through that. So it got me to thinking, like, man, maybe I'm dealing with something more than anxiety.
Right. That's crazy.
It is. But it's through you, my man. Honestly, talking to you, it made me think.
Yeah, well, some of the things that I started to go through, I can pick those out because I've been through it before, like the depression. When I first fell off the pole and not understanding what was going on and having those negative nights, I knew that was depression. But I didn't know what else it was until I saw my psychologist about my PTSD. And when she told me, that was like the worst thing that the worst thing that I could hear.
Yeah.
Knowing what it is and somebody putting a name on it, it's a relief, because now you can research it. You can put some type of healing to it or some steps to it. But before that, you don't know what it is. So it's confusing, it's sad, it's depressing, it's frustrating.
That's the biggest thing for me, man. I've been frustrated, man, for 20 years almost, bro.
20, yeah, that's a long time.
20 years, man, because it kept this anxiety and everything just kept following me, man. You wake up and you pray every day. You don't feel like this. You know, you're wondering, like, why me, right? And so people tell you to forget about it. Just let it go. And it's just like, bro, like, I can't let this go, man. Like, you're not understanding how I'm feeling. Like, I wake up. As soon as I open my eyes, I'm instantly thinking about this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I can't let it go.
It's not
it was
like
that
it's a
easy.
choice.
No, it's not, man. I mean, it affected my home life. You know, I'm married now. So I thought that, you know, what, 7, 8 years ago, you know, me and my wife, we got married and everything. I thought like, okay, I'm good now. I got myself together, you know? And
Yeah.
then well, like 6 months after we got married, everything was going smooth, my man. Like I felt like my anxiety was at like an all-time low. Nothing was bothering me. I was with my family. I was with my kids. Everything was great. You know what I'm saying? And then just out the blue, boom. I woke up one morning and my dear friend anxiety was with me again, like bad, out the blue.
That's
And
crazy.
it was tough. My wife's still behind, you know, she's still beside me, man. But I went for like 2 months, man. I lost weight. I wasn't eating. I was constantly shaking. I was just, it was a whole lot, man. It got bad, man. It got
The
really bad.
wives get the worst of it,
Yeah, man. Yeah, they do, man. She, well, my wife, man, I will say she was, and to this day, man, like she's learning more. But that first bout, I had told her what I went through when I was 17, but she had never really, first of all, I held it in a lot through all the years we was together. But she had never really seen exactly how it affected me until then. And then I think it shocked her, you know, like, whoa, hold up. This ain't the guy that I know, you know? And it's just, it was tough, man. And I mean, I lost my job because of it. To be honest with you, this was 6, 7 years ago. I couldn't go to work. I was calling off work all the time because I couldn't be around people, you know. All of that, man, and they helped me through it, man. But I still didn't go get help, if that makes sense. Like I dealt with it myself, you know what I'm
Yeah,
saying?
a lot of people
And
won't get their help.
they won't, man. They won't go get help. But that was my whole thing, man. I don't need to go talk to nobody. I don't need to go see no doctor. I don't need to go do this. That's the first thing on my mind is like, I don't need to go talk to nobody. I got this, right? And how can you say it? I got myself out of the dark air, the dark
Yeah,
space. I did, but
that deep
dude,
depression.
deep depression and anxiety. But I had those feelings every day I was waking up, but I didn't want to share it with them. You know what I'm saying? Moving forward throughout the year, same thing, same thing, same thing. And then boom, the worst time of my life happened 6, 7 months ago, man, ever. And I shared it with you. Like I hit the lowest of the low, man. Like I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't eat. My wife went out of town and I had the kids. And like I don't know how to explain it, man. It's like I was having an out of body experience for the first time ever in my life. Like, I don't know. I
The
would wake
kids
up
took care
and
of you.
they did, bro. Like to this day, my wife, she know, man. Like I sat on the couch for like 4 days straight. I couldn't eat. I have no. It sound bad, man, but I really don't know how I was taking care of the kids. You know what I'm saying? They was taking care of me. Like
You was an autopilot.
I was, man. It just I didn't feel like. I don't know how you say it, man. It's like it wasn't real. Like when I wake up, and I say I get to walking or whatever, man. I just didn't feel like I was in my own body. It was
Yeah.
just it was scary, man. And that was the moment that I said, okay, I need to go talk to somebody,
Right.
right? So I went and seen the doctor, and they re-diagnosed me with generalized anxiety, which I didn't know it was three or four different types of anxiety,
Right.
but
I just thought it was anxiety.
that's what the doctor told me when I was 17. So,
Man.
but then, you know, I got to talk to a therapist or whatever it may be, which was the first time I ever talked to anybody, which is, you know, pretty cool. But to be honest with you, man, I didn't stick with her because she didn't know me. And the first thing she, and I hate this, and I will vent on your show right now. Like,
Go ahead.
I will
Go
vent
for
right now, my man, because I think it's very important. Like if you can go see a therapist, please go do it.
Right.
Please go do it. But This particular person didn't know me for more than 30 seconds. When they seen me, they didn't ask my name. They didn't ask how I was doing. They didn't really ask what was wrong with me. The first thing they did was take this pill. Come back and see me in 2 months.
What a pill supposed to do for you for 2 months?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't know nothing about this. And so just to try to get out of it, I started taking the medicine. And I'm not telling nobody not to take their medicine. If it helps you, please continue to take the medicine.
Yeah.
But this didn't, what they gave me did not help me. Like, it actually made me a little bit worse, if that, you know, that sounds crazy, but it did. It made me worse. So I stopped taking it, man. And it's been rough for the last 7 months, man, but I'm making progress. You know, I'm educating myself more than I ever did before.
That's good.
Doing research and telling my story, my man.
That is good. To take those steps is is huge. You know what I mean? And like mine was going to talk to my therapist.
Okay.
Because I didn't know how I was going to get through life if I didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I wish I had told her or taken people's advice to get some medication to help me sleep. Because sometimes I would be up for 2-3 days at a time. And now it's like, even though I'm so much better, you know, it's like I can be up for 2 days and be fully functional, and that's scary. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then
I might be going back to work next week. So I'm trying to will myself back on some type of sleeping schedule. And it's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
So I don't like taking drugs either. When I fell off the pole, I didn't like the way the oxys made me feel. So after the second day, I stopped taking them, and I was in pain. But I did not like the way those things made me feel.
That's my whole thing. I don't like, and maybe that's my own negative thoughts, man. My anxiety or whatever it may be about pills or medicine in general. I kind of shy away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And this particular time, I just said, okay, I'm gonna try it because I need this help. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And quite honestly, it just didn't work for me. And I know they say, you know, it might take 3 or 4 different type of medications to get you right, but I'm just I'm not there yet. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be moving from
somebody to step.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. And like I say before, man, if it's helping somebody out there and it's helping them, then please continue to take it. But for me, I think this, me starting my podcast was huge for me, you know, telling my story, educate myself more, you know, finding coping mechanisms, you know, like meditating or deep breathing exercises, or just I found the app that's, it's not therapy, it's not with a therapist, but it's kind of based off of, they call it CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. It's an app, and it does everything. It tells you everything. You know, you have sessions with, you know, within the app or whatever. So I'm doing that. And
that's good.
It's helping.
Like that
yeah,
is.
It's helping, man.
But one thing I want to tell you, like with me seeing a therapist and doing like podcasts, it's like I get double the help, because the same thing I do on my podcast is the same thing I do while I'm talking to her.
Yeah.
She told me like a month ago that I made her job like really easy, because I come in and I sit down and I just start talking, and I'm saying to her what I should be telling myself.
Yeah.
So the podcast, it can be your therapist. It just won't diagnose you or give you no steps to take. Well, it will if you have people on your show that go through it.
Bro, you.
Oh.
you and I have met, through just this last month, through podcasting, you, I met countless and talked to countless other people that just like me. And I'm like, yo, it's people just like me? Like, okay. So it gives me an encouragement. Like, man, okay, I can do this.
Right.
You know, I can. And just, man, I'm going to take steps every single day, man. I want to start like in my own city where I live in Indiana. In my city, surprisingly, there's no, and it surprised the hell out of me, man. Like, I researched, like, we have no, like, help groups, like, on, like, anxiety or depression. There's no, like, weekly meeting groups or whatever. We don't have none of that.
And there you go.
It's something that I want to do. I want to start. I'm going to figure it out. I want to start it myself. You know, people who can't afford to go to therapy or just don't want to go.
Right.
But they wouldn't mind coming, sitting 30, 40 minutes one time a week with people that's relatable to them and, you know, talking it out.
So, and that's the main thing, too, because, you know, people that's in our situations, we don't talk to people out of fear of being judged or people looking at us different. And when you talk sitting across from somebody who's going through the same thing you're going through, it's like you could tell them everything you're going through because that relationship piece.
That relationship. Me and you. I talked to you on the phone that first day, man. And you know, we talked for like 30, 40 minutes. And it's like we known each other for a year. It was crazy. But it was very relatable. I was like, yo, okay. Somebody going through stuff that I've been through or going through, and it's like, yo, I've been looking for that. I've been searching for that my whole entire life, dude.
Yeah. Like, nobody willing to talk about it.
Man, it's that, and dude, I ain't met countless, like, I ain't really met nobody who was willing to just say, oh, yeah, I'm going through that too.
Right.
They might say I got a little bit of anxiety, but they won't break it down like I broke it down. And it's just like, this is my therapy, man. I call it talk therapy or release therapy.
That's exactly what it is.
I'm going to continue to do it and build.
One of the main things that make like podcasts important is because you're talking to an audience that's not there right now. So you're having a conversation with yourself, but you're getting those thoughts, those feelings, and you're getting that and putting it all into the atmosphere. You know what I mean? And I think that that's a really big part of healing. Is when you can actually speak it, like speak the words into existence or speak it out into the atmosphere, what you're going through. Because now, you know, you're putting words to what you're going through. And that's a big part of the healing process.
Yeah, man, it is. And I'm on the road to recovery. I'm just now getting in the car. I always say, man, I'm on the road to recovery, man. I just got in the car. I opened the door. I just got in the car, and I just put my seatbelt on. I ain't even started the car.
I hear that.
you know what I'm saying, my man? I ain't even started the car. I just put my seatbelt on, and now I'm about to start the car. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Then I'm going to drive, man. So I'm very early in it. I still struggle every day. I struggle today at work. I felt a certain type of way. I felt my medicine was really, really bad. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Felt like I was going to pass out. So when people hear this, I'm not cured at all. I'm not even halfway to where I want to be. I'm like 5% to where I want to be. So,
well, I don't know if it ever goes anywhere. I know depression doesn't anywhere.
Nope. Anxiety and depression, you got to manage it. It's not curable.
Right.
You just got to learn how to manage it. To a point where it's managed. Like, I'm learning every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm learning every day, bro.
One thing I noticed about you was your sense of humor. Like, listening to your podcast and our conversations. So, I want you to, like, try to use that. You know what I mean? Because your humor will ease your nerves. You know what I mean? It'll be like those breathing things when you can't do them.
For sure. Yeah. You're right, man. And I've always been that type of person, man. I always try to find the fun in something. You know what I'm saying? Or make people laugh. I don't know.
I want to see everybody have fun, too.
Yeah, I do, man. You know, I tend to be very negative, and that's my first. That's one of the first things I want to do is, and I'll talk about this on my next podcast. Negativity. I'm trying to throw that shit out, man, and just start to formulate some positive, you know, images in my head, man, and just become a better. I think if I could start with that, man, my life would change a little bit day by day.
Well, What started me on mine, because I used to be a super negative person as well, like super angry, super negative.
Yeah.
Get everything that you don't like about yourself and put it out there, whether you write it down or whether you put it in a podcast, just put it somewhere where you can revisit it. You know what I mean? Because
Yeah.
when you telling yourself like the things that you really don't like for
Yeah.
me, I don't like the fact that I'm so nice, but I love the fact that I'm so nice. You know what I mean? It makes me who I am. But
Okay.
that was something that I had to write down and deal with. It's like either I don't like it that much to where I'm gonna get rid of it, or I like it enough to make it a part of my life and keep it.
I feel you. Yeah. That's key, man. But I know my ass, man. I start to do it, and then I start getting negative about doing it. Like, why the hell am I
That's the
doing this?
point.
This ain't gonna never change.
That is the point, though.
Yeah, you're right. You're
Because
right, my man.
that's the only way you're going to learn how to turn those thoughts around is to force yourself to have those. Like when I went through my depression, when I relive some of those things, it sometimes it'll bring me back to the same feelings I had at that time. And I want that to happen. I want those feelings to come back so that I can keep working on it.
Keep moving forward.
Yep.
Keep moving forward. You got it, bro. And I know through our friendship, man, and talking beyond just the podcast, man, I know that's gonna help me out. I know it's gonna help you out.
Yep.
And we're gonna help people out, bro.
Yeah.
That's what we here for.
That's the
That's
goal.
what we here for. That's, bro, that's my goal, man. It ain't about no money or nothing like that.
Right.
That's good too. Don't get me wrong. But don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. We both want to do our thing. But I just want to see people, share their story, talk about what they're going through,
Right.
and just heal, man. Just heal, bro.
Like
'Cause this shit is hard.
last year was really tough because we had a lot of racial incidents out here.
Yeah.
And the look on my kids' faces, like that almost it made me want to go back to the person that I was when I was living in Chicago. You know, but I got
Yeah.
these kids that's looking at me and they looking for answers. Shit, answers
Yeah.
that I didn't even have. You know what I mean? But
Yeah.
I had to make sure that they didn't get to a place that I was when I was their ages. So I talked to them about everything. And now, like, our conversations are so raw sometimes because I don't want nothing to slap them in their face again, like what happened
You
last
like
year.
me, bro. You like me. Sometimes you gotta be rough. I don't sugarcoat it. I'm gonna tell you what it is because
You
you
have
gotta
to.
know. You gotta know, man. This world is very cruel out here, man, especially today.
Yeah.
What you see today is cruel out there, and then you sugarcoat it, and then our kids go out there and then boom.
Right.
Like, damn.
Yep.
Like, so that's what I'm here for, man, to motivate and just be an example for anybody dealing with anxiety, depression, PTSD, bipolar, whatever your mental illness is, man. I'm here, you here, and we're gonna do our thing, bro.
For sure.
We're gonna
And
do, but I'm gonna shout out.
go
Oh,
ahead,
you
go
got it,
for
my
it.
bad, bro. Now
Now go for it.
I'm about to say, man, whoever listening, man, tune in. Anxiety about anxiety. You can find me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Anchor app. And a whole lot of other platforms that I still don't even know yet, bro. I've been getting like inboxes from like all type of platforms I never heard of.
That's
But
good.
those big four, you can definitely find me on there, or you can email me at anxietyaboutanxiety@gmail.com if you got any questions or comments or shit, you just want to know what's up. Just hit me up.
If
I'm
anybody's
here.
leave me any comments about with anything that should come from you, then I'll just relate it back to you or put y'all together so y'all can talk about
Let's
it.
do it, man. I trust in you, man. Hey, by the way, while we on here, man, I love the website.
Thank
That's
you.
my motivation now.
Thank you.
I'm gonna get my lazy butt up, and you're gonna do me one now.
That was
So
hard, man. That was hard.
I saw good. I seen you do it, so I was like, shit, I'm gonna go do it too. So, man, I
Man,
appreciate it.
I had a my cousin, she called me, was it Thanksgiving morning? I think it was Thanksgiving morning. And she challenged me with like making a website with taking this a little farther than what I was doing. You know what I mean? She challenged me to make a Facebook page for it, the website for it. And you challenged me, then, you know, we got action.
Yeah, let's go, bro.
So I was getting ready to break this laptop sometimes.
Do your thing. You got to. I'm going to do it. And, oh, since you said social media, I got, man, I said, shout out. I got an anxiety about anxiety page on Facebook. Go and check that out. Go and like that. Instagram, anxiety about anxiety. I'm not on Twitter yet. I don't tweet everything. Maybe I should, but I don't. So maybe I get in tune with that. But I'm definitely going to get a website. Don't know what I'm going to name it. But my dude, Dante, very encouraging, very motivating. This is a good dude, y'all.
I try to be.
Man, you are, bro. Ain't no try.
You know
bro,
what?
You, hey, we friends, bro.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that I still suffer from is accepting compliments. And yep. I never really told anybody about this, but like I don't accept like compliments because of shame. You know, I feel like I don't deserve them. So like people here in the community call me like good names and I reflect it back to them, you know. Or if somebody say I'm a good part of the community, I reflect it back to the community. And, you know, I had a conversation with somebody and it was like, well, my mom first. She was like, cut that shit out. She was like, cut it out.
What the hell wrong with you, boy? Right.
Because she explained it to me how that could make somebody feel taking a compliment that they sincerely gave to me. And then I'm giving it away to somebody else. It's like unappreciative. You know what I mean? And that's
I see that.
It's just so much shame that I'm just now starting to deal with that I wouldn't accept compliments. You know what I mean?
But bro, you better start, man. Because what you're doing right now, you're going to get a whole lot of.
Well, I got two things. I'm waiting on the city that I live in, Chaska, for the Mental Health Advisory Council to get back to me. And then Tuesday, I got a meeting with it's this group I had called NAMI. And they go around and talk about mental health issues and have people speak publicly and everything. So,
dude, you moving.
I'm just trying to start wherever I can, man, because for one, I'm 37, you 35, but it's too many kids out here committing suicide.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And
we
need to give them that platform or that comfort space where they can talk to somebody about what they're going through.
Confidence, man. Let people know that, hey, it's okay to talk about
it. Yeah.
Let it go.
And
don't hold it in.
It drives me up a wall. Like, it hurts my heart to see, like, either a kid attempt suicide or a kid actually do it because that could have been me five times.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you live through it, man. But you got it going, man. I like what you're doing. And like I said before, man, good things happen to good people.
I appreciate it.
Keep doing what you're doing. And like over here, man, I ain't got that too many resources over here, but I'm going to create my own for other people.
Yeah.
That's my goal. And keep moving it forward, bro.
You can shoot me a message anytime. If I don't have an answer, I'm not going to try and tell you I do or try and figure out an answer. I will straight out tell you, like, shit, I don't know. Because I would like to speak from experience. You know what I mean? If
that's
I can speak from
me,
experience,
bro.
I'd rather not.
Yeah, you good with me, man. So it don't matter, man. Like I said, we got a friendship now through this podcasting, but it's going to be on that, bro. And yeah, man, just I got your back, bro.
For
whatever
sure.
You need,
now we just
got it, my man.
We got to start to create a wider circle and keep growing that circle so that everybody can start to do what we're doing. Because if you get a community of people that's talking about their problems, conversations would be so much better. And I mean, the world would be a much better place.
Yep. For it go from one person to the next, and then there you go. Then you got a lot of people talking about it. So that's what I want to do. I see that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, this is going to be awesome, my man. And I appreciate you having me on your show.
No
I love
problem.
It. I never did an interview. This wasn't even an interview. It was a conversation.
Right.
But I never did it before. And, yo, we're going to do it again. You're going to be on my show again.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. keep moving forward, bro.
You too, man. You too. Everybody, this is Keith Snyder and Dante Hughes. And his podcast is Anxiety About Anxiety. He also has a Facebook page. And coming soon to a website,
yeah.
You would be his website. It'll probably be Anxiety About Anxiety. And that's a
no,
dope
it will
name,
not.
Man.
Actually, I might call it The Unminded. For people who don't know what unminded means,
mm-hmm.
It means the ignored. So
oh.
I might call it I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I'm still tossing it in the air.
So,
but yeah, we're going to have something really soon. So I appreciate it, my guy.
That just made me think about, like, somebody sent me a message, said that they don't know if I should use that name, Vulnerable Truth. You know, and I told them, like, for me, that's an important name because where I grew up, you weren't allowed to be vulnerable. You know, and if you're not allowed to be vulnerable, when you telling somebody about you, most of the time you lying because you can't be vulnerable. So you're not giving them a story about you. You're giving them something that you made up. So
I love it, bro.
This is something that I do now. I'm honest. I'm telling my story. And
do
I'm
it.
Being vulnerable in front of any and everybody. So vulnerable
do
truth.
Do your thing, man. I'll have one day. So, man,
I
appreciate it, my man.
Soon.
I appreciate it, man. I will be talking to you soon, tomorrow, really, probably. So
that's cool.
Yeah, man.
That's cool.
I appreciate it, bro. Now I got to go pick up the wife.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm going to get you tagged in a minute.
Hey, do your thing, bro. Hey, take your time, man. I know we all good, bro. I appreciate it. I'll be talking to you tomorrow, man.
All right. Thanks for
being
on here,
man, no doubt, man. Have a good night, bro.
You too. Take it easy.
All right, peace.
Later.